Thank you, Pastor. All right, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. And I thought about, for an invitation, you've probably heard me talk about my brother John several times, but I thought it was appropriate to tell you the story again. And my brother John went to church some, and when my dad got saved, they all took out and left because they were into drugs and all of that stuff. But I remember when John, I went to witness to him, and he was in what they call Dope Alley. And so I went to witness to him while he was selling drugs, and he told me to leave him alone, and that he knew more about God than I did. And so I, of course, witnessed to him, left, and John got leukemia. He was only 23 years old, and he'd had a heart attack, and went to him again and asked him to be saved. And I said, John, you're going to die. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm going to get out of this hospital, and I'm going to drink another fifth of liquor, and I'm going to smoke some more dope, and I'm going to party, and I'm not going to die right now. And John never did make it out of the hospital. So you do not know when you are going to die, and you're a fool. You're a fool, and if you're here today and you raised your hand, you is lost, and you leave lost. I don't understand that. My brother would trade places with you today. He has been in hell since 1984, and he would trade places with you today to have another opportunity, to take that opportunity that you have, that you have squandered. I would not squander. I would not leave this meeting without knowing Christ. Amen. And Jeremiah chapter 6, I will not be long, and preacher, give us 20, 25 minutes. And I tell you, I really wanted to preach something else, but I just couldn't get this off of my heart. And you might think that it may not fit this meeting. I just want to read one verse, Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 6. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? Walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I want to preach just a few moments on, this thought, which way are you walking? Which way are you walking? Now, best we can tell, of course, Jeremiah got saved as a young boy, got called into the ministry in his early 20s, preached for about 40 years until the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. But you know, one thing that he was known for was a compassionate preacher. I want you to preach the truth to me. I do not care if you preach standards to me. I do not care if you preach holiness to me. But I want you to have compassion when you preach. You should never act and think that you're better than the people you're preaching to. Because had it not been for the grace of God, I'd be a drunk today. I'd follow in the footsteps of my brothers. I'd be in hell today. Had it not been for the good grace of God, there's nothing that we have to boast about, but Jeremiah said that rivers of water run down his face. He said, my eyes affecteth my heart. I'm telling you, we ought to have compassion in preaching the word of God. I love to see people get birthed into the family of God. I'm glad when I go to a church and there's people out there, and men got long hair, and there's purple and yellow earrings everywhere. I say hallelujah for the opportunity to preach to some people that need God. Amen. Amen. Of course, sadly, some of that is the church becoming carnal. Say amen right there. I want to give you just four simple things. Number one, we see Jeremiah's prophecy. Verse 1 through 15, he talks about the invasion of King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1 through 6. Then he sees in verse 7 the iniquity of Israel, how that the nation had cast out her wickedness, he said, like a fountain. That means in abundance and in continuance. I said this probably Monday or Sunday, but I'm going to say it again. It has bothered me, the carnality that is filled filling our churches. God help us, amen. The people of God are to live right and to be an example. Then he gives the instruction in verse 8. He tells them to repent before he withdraws his presence. Oh, what a terrible state to be in, that God would leave us, or God would leave a church. I go to churches today and they're different than they was 20 years ago, Brother John. And God used to breathe in them places, and God used to move in them places. But you look around and you find out why. Everybody's changed. The preacher's compromised, and they don't have the standard that they used to have. God help us. Amen. I don't want God to leave this place. I don't want God to leave Bible Baptist Church. I thank God for a man of God that'll preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. I'm telling you, without him, we are in a mess. Without him, we're helpless. Without him, we can't do anything. We need his presence. Amen. Instruction for Israel, verse 10, he deals with their indifference, how that their sinful life kept them from hearing God's word, how that they scoffed at the word of God and they blasphemed it, how that they had no satisfaction, no desire for the word of God. You know what people tell us today? I don't care what the Bible says. You're a fool to say that. You don't care what the Bible says. I do care what the Bible says. Matter of fact, God said he upholds his word above his name. Amen. Oh, God help us. Then we see verse 11 and 12, the imprisonment of Israel, how that they were taken into captivity. None were spared, young and old, husband and wife. They lost their houses. They lost their... Can I tell you, sin and the devil, young people, will take everything from you. The devil's a liar. Today, he'll promise you, if you go ahead and live a life of sin, go ahead and fornicate, go ahead and live in this whole world, go ahead and listen to your garbage music, go ahead and do the things you want to do, it's okay. That preacher's crazy. I'm telling you, he's a liar today. I'm telling you, the devil, he'll steal everything you got. He'll steal your innocence. He'll steal your testimony. He'll try to destroy you, because that's who he is. Amen. Amen. Then we see that they were imposters in verse 13, false prophets and phony priests. They dealt falsely. I wonder today how many is really real in this building. How many's putting on a facade today? How many has such a secret life as Brother Treber preached about and talked about? I wonder how real we really are. God help us, amen, not to be imposter. I wonder, young people, how many's here today waiting for an opportunity when they're 18 to get out of the house and do their own thing and run to the world? Aren't you glad not everybody does that? I'm glad there's some young people. Thank God who stayed with it and stayed with God. Hallelujah. And they become a young married couples and working in a church. But I'm telling you, the devil will destroy you if you allow him. If you follow the path that he leads out for you, you're going to be in trouble. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I'll give you Jeremiah's plea, and this is what I want to deal with. He said two things. Choose you. See, you've got two paths. He said ways. You're in two ways. There's God's way and there's your way. And I believe that there's some young people. Brother Brad, the Lord wouldn't let me get this off my heart. I looked at it yesterday morning in case the Lord called, and I couldn't get it off my heart. I looked at it this morning and I said, Lord, I cannot get this off of my heart. I don't know what you're doing, who you're dealing with or what, but I'm just telling you, there's some young people here today and you're headed down the wrong path. And God is saying to you, I want you to look and look at the way you're going and look at my way. I want you to look to the right way. There is a choice here. Then there's a command. He said, ask for the old paths. Boy, we have lost and got off track of those, haven't we? See, you preach against sin in the average camp meeting, and they won't ask you to come back. Because they say, well, we come to be encouraged, and I agree with that. And man, I've been encouraged this week. But you know what? We also come to get instructions. We come to how to get closer to God, how to get right with God. I tell you what, them old paths were. It was the old path that Enoch walked. The Bible said it walked with God. It was the old path that Noah walked, and it walked with God. It was the old path that Moses walked, and it walked with God. I'm telling you, we've got to get back to the old path. I'm telling you, I came up under preaching where there's against everything. They'd preach against eating and breathing. I'm telling you, there's against everything. And I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost used to move in the church like you never seen anybody's business, because there was just some old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching on how to live, how to dress, how to walk, where to go, what to do, what not to do. And you know what? God honored that. Amen. Amen. God honored that. You say, what is the old way or the good way? Three simple things. It's a way of submission. Amen. When God speaks, I tell people, my pastor, Brother Dana Weems' brother, was my pastor. And he didn't have tact. He didn't know that you're supposed to be gentle about when you're preaching. He just preached. And Phil Kidd preached his first message. I was there as a member there. And he had them platform shoes. Don't let this go out, because if he hears it, he's going to come and kill me. But anyway, the truth of the matter, he had platform shoes on. And as he came off the platform, his first message, Brother Doug, here's what my pastor said. He said, that's pretty good. Go change your shoes. I'm in front of everybody. And you know what he did Wednesday night? He came back with some wingtips on. What about that? Submission. Amen. Then a way of statues, God's word. Then a way of satisfaction. Can I tell you this? I promise you, it's good to be in the old time way. It's a joyous way. I enjoy living for Jesus. I'm not sad today. I'm telling you, I'm thrilled beyond measure to be in the good old fashioned way. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to believe the Bible. I'm not ashamed to have standards in my life. By the grace of God, I want to be holy as He's holy. Amen. Amen. Not real popular today, but it's the truth. We got young people in our churches. They're trying to decide which way they want to go. He said, go the good way. I gave you Jeremiah's promise, number 3, verse 16. He said, you'll find rest for your souls. You know what comes with rest? Peace. Peace. Man, I can go to bed at night and sleep. You know why? There's peace. By trying to walk with God. Some of you need to make up your mind today. You know what the preacher said 2 nights ago, I think it was? He said, if you changed your dress standards, just change them back. Just change them back. You see. You say, well, now don't misunderstand me. I want sinners to come. And I don't care how they're dressed. Man, I want to preach to them. And I'm not going to blow them out when they get there about their dress. Amen, right there. Because they need Jesus. Amen. I've seen fellas put on an evangelistic tent meeting, and when people come in their shorts and women in their breeches, that's what they preach on. That's stupid. That is stupid. They need Jesus. They need Christ. They don't need to worry about the outside. But when Jesus gets on the inside, then He starts changing the outside. Amen. Amen. He makes a difference. Not only is there peace, but there's a place. You remember what God told Noah or Moses? He said, there's a place that's by me. You know what? When you're in those old paths and you're walking right, there's just a sweeter place to be. When you're full of the world and you're full of carnality and you're full of yourself, you're full of the garbage music of this world and its entertainment and all of that. And I'm gonna tell you, our churches are. That is why they're dead. That is why they're quiet. Because people aren't coming to worship. They can't wait to get out, to get back on their phone and listen to their music and do the things they're doing. Are we glad they come? Absolutely. But wouldn't it be great to get back to where God's people really strive to be holy and not be full of this world? And we come to church with one thing in mind, and that's to glorify the God of heaven and thank God, worship Him, and not worry about everything that's outside. Amen. Number four, and I'm done. We see Jeremiah gives them the price. Because here's what they said, the rebellion. They said, we will not walk therein. They refused to obey. The saddest thing that I see across the land, I don't know how many preachers I preach for, that their grown children, none of them come to church. They're out into sin. The children have a mind of their own, but they say, we're not going to walk in your rules. We're not going to do what you say do. We're not going to do what the Bible says to do. We're going to do what we want to do. You'll pay a price for that. We see the rebellion. They said they would not hearken. Then we see the response. God said in verse 19, He's going to bring evil upon them because they rejected His words and His law. Then He refused, verse 20, He refused their burnt offerings. Can I tell you, it's still, He said, obedience is still better than sacrifice. But Chad, He still just wants us to obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, when I was a teenager and God began to deal with me about things in my life, I began to learn, Brother Tyler, that there was just a place of obedience. Can I tell you, young people, when I went to a Christian high school, Brother Brian, I was not out listening to rock music. I wasn't going out on Friday night drinking. I went to church, visitation on Thursday, a bus visitation on Saturday. But I was not walking with God. Young people, I had not decided at that time to be in a life of obedience. There came a day, 2 months before I graduated from Christian high school, Brother John, God got a hold of me. And I climbed up the stairs and got up in the attic of my old daddy's house. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to be. And I don't know what you want me to do. But I want to follow you. I want to be obedient unto you. You know what it did? It changed my life. Now, can I say that some of my Christian friends that went to church with me, they begin to quit hanging around me. You know why? Because they want to talk about some things that wasn't just quite right. And I'd say, oh, excuse me, fellas, I really don't want to talk about that. Oh, you think you're better than us now. No, no one's better than anybody else. But I'm telling you, if there's a life of obedience, amen, it's a great place to be, hallelujah. Oh, God will bless your life, hallelujah. Listen, but if you rebel this day and you go your own way, there'll be a price to pay. Been preaching almost 41 years, evangelism 32. And I could tell you a multitude of teenagers who said, nope, I'm gonna do it my own way. And they're so messed up today. Their marriages are in disaster. Their lives are in just shambles. Young people, you know why? Because they chose the wrong path. Some of you are standing in the ways today. You're looking at your way and the good way, God's way, the old path. I wonder which way you're going to choose. How in the world can you sit around these days and see God move and work and still go out there and do your own thing? But I've watched it over and over and over. There's people have come through Bible, people who've come through faith that have listened to the preacher. Some of them grew up there, and boy, they're a mess today. You know why? They chose their own path. They said, you know what? We're not going to walk therein. We don't care what you say. We don't care what God says. We don't care what the Bible says. We don't care about the law of God. We just want to do our own thing. But I'm telling you the price you'll pay. Oh, it'll ruin your life. Amen. I grew up with a young man, went to church together. I remember when he got saved. He got out into sin. Got out pretty bad. Probably living in it for about 3 or 4 years. His little daughter was born, first child they had. Brother John, they said she's not going to make it. That fella had been out in sin real bad for 3 or 4 years. He literally slid on his knees in the hospital hallway and begged God to touch that little girl. And he said, if you do, he said, I'll live for you. And he said, I'll get right. You know what he did? He got right. You know what that girl, today she's been in the Christian college. She's taught school at a Christian school. They're doing great. But you know what happened about 6 or 7, 8 years ago? The devil jumped on his back. And he said, you're not saved because of what you did. You know what he did? He gave the devil ammunition to use against him. And he called me sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. I'm lost. I'm lost. There's no way I could be saved. Then he'd call me back. No, I'm saved. I'm saved. Then he'd call me back. Man, I'm lost. We went through that for over a year. You know why? Because he left and he went his own way and he did his own thing. And he said, I'm going to live in sin. I'm going to live it up. And I'm telling you, he walked through a trial for over 3 or 4 years because he gave the devil ammunition to use against him. Amen. You can go astray. You can come back. But you're going to bring the scars back with you. You're going to bring them back with you. Which way are you choosing today? Thank you, preacher.